I want to take a few moments and just, I was praying about this week. I said, God, what do you want us to talk about? What do we need to look at? What are some things that you want us to get from your word? And he answered, and I was kind of like, well, okay. You know, it's one of those you think, well, maybe, all right, we'll look at that, whatever you want to do. But I kind of struggled with it at first, kind of getting into it, and I thought, wow, this could be a really, deep study, and, you're not sure how much time you may have and how much you want to do. Is it going to be too much, too short? And it covers a big topic. Freedom from fear. Now, any of you watch the news, does it look like things are getting any better? Probably not, right? You know, depending on what news network you're watching, you're getting everything from diseases that have no cure, to people in control of nuclear weapons that have no restraint, to anything in between. You've got social unrest, you've got riots, you've got people killing each other. If you look around at the report that you get from what you see in the news every day, it almost makes you afraid to go out your door, right? Because you think, what in the world has happened to this country? What in the world has happened to this world? Well, if you're a believer, you know what's happened to this world. It's fallen, right? We live in a fallen world. This is no longer a perfect situation down here. And apart from Christ, it would be a lot worse. The only reason that it's not even worse than it is because God still has a remnant here doing work he wants done. Amen? The church is the wall. We're the ones that kind of keep that back. But even in that, sometimes we have that temptation to be afraid. We look around, we have this temptation to fear. I was speaking with a young lady the other day that I work with her husband, and she works in a different division, but they're expecting their first child. And, she knows that I've been commissioned as a pastor here, and I've got four kids. And, we were kind of talking about it. She said, we debated a long time after we got married whether or not we wanted to try and have a family, because she said, you look at this, the shape this world's in. And it's just, she's like, I don't know if you want to bring kids into this. And I gave her a piece of advice that I was given years ago when I had the same questions and the same thoughts, and I thought it was good advice. If the people who know Christ aren't having families and aren't raising kids in this world to stand up for Jesus for that next generation, who's going to do it? Amen? Now, I pray for my kids every day. And if I looked at what I saw in the world around me, it would give me a lot of reason to be afraid. I'm not. And I'll tell you why I'm not. There's a passage of Scripture that we're going to look at, and this is going to be kind of, if you're used to Sunday school lessons, right, this is our key verse. This is the one I want us to hang on to today, and we're going to look at a lot of Scriptures. But Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Now, what does all mean? Right? All means all, and that's all means, right? You remember that? If he's delivered you from all your fear, then that means you can't think of anything that God hasn't covered. There's not going to be a single situation that comes up in this fallen world that God is going to say, oh, boy, I missed that one. I don't have an answer for you. Sorry, you're out of luck. Not going to happen. He's got it covered. The question is number one, do we want to let him? And number two, do we know how to let him? Now, sometimes I look at these messages and I think, wow, I try to pack a lot of Scripture reference in here. And, I've heard some, pastors, they maybe have one or two verses and there's a lot of dialogue in between. Either one is fine. I like to give you a lot of Scripture, though, because, number one, I don't want you getting a lot of Keith. I want you getting a lot of God. And I can give you my opinion all day long, but it's not going to matter worth anything. It's going to be the opinion of somebody who's been on this planet for a short period of time, who's learned a little tiny bit about what God's revealing. But this right here, okay? This has been around since before the beginning. This is God's word to us. And I would rather beat you over the head with 50 million scriptures than to give you a pretty sounding lecture, because you know what? This is what's going to do it. This is the word that sets us free. This is the word that meets our needs, that heals us. Everything we need is contained in this book. It's his contract to us. So we're going to take a look at this. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this one in here too. 1 John 5. 14 to 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. How do you know God's will? Again, you get in His Word, right? His will is His Word. His Word is His will. He makes it pretty simple to us. We just have to get in there and dig around and ask Him to show us, you know, what the wisdom is out of it and how to do it. So let's put it in perspective. So I want to take a look and say, okay, well, we're going to seek the Lord. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to fear. Let's take a look and make sure we're on the same page, though, with what fear is. Because if you're King James, New King James, if there's different versions of the Bible, you see the word fear in a lot of different phrases. So I want to take a look at this. 1828 version of Webster's Dictionary says fear is this. It's a painful emotion or a passion that's excited by an expectation of evil. Or it's the apprehension of some kind of impending danger. And it builds up. It basically says there's different levels to it. There's fear, which leads to dread, which leads to terror, which leads to fright. But the biggest thing, it's fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off an expected evil. It's uneasiness of mind. Anybody ever have uneasiness of mind? Maybe especially after watching the news? It's based on a thought of future evil that's very likely to befall us. And that expectation of evil, that's an important word. And I wanted to look at that one too and say, okay, expectation of evil. Let's make sure we understand when we say expectation, what are we looking at? Well, Webster's defines expectation as this. It's the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe that event's going to happen. Now, expectation is different from hope. Hope originates in desire. You may wonder, you know, if it's going to arrive, when it's going to arrive. It may happen at some point, maybe not, depending on what the hope is in. But expectation is founded on some reason which renders that event probable to us. So we're not just thinking it may happen, we're waiting for it to happen. Hope is always directed to something good. Expectation can be good or bad. So if you're looking at an expectation of evil, fear is basically saying you're waiting for this to happen. You're not wondering if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. So if you watch something on the news or somebody gives you this bad report or you hear about something down the street and you start getting fearful and apprehensive about it, you're really waiting for it to happen to you or somebody else close to you. That's fear. That's how that works. Now, does that sound, though, an expectation of something? Does that sound like anything else we talk about in a Christian circles? That certainty that something is going to happen, that certainty that we have something right now, sounds a lot like faith, right? Now, this is interesting because, you know, the devil can't create anything, right? He counterfeits. He tries to present things. He's deceptive. He's a liar. He can't make anything. God originated us and He built this world to operate on spiritual principles, faith being the number one ingredient to access that. Well, the devil uses fear. And basically, fear is when we're having faith in the devil as opposed to faith in God. Now, whether we want to admit it that way or say it that way, that's really what we're doing. And that's kind of dangerous because if you're not allowing God to operate, there's only one other person that's around. You know, Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. It says faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. That sounds a lot like expectation, doesn't it? I have something. I'm certain. I don't see it, but I'm certain I've got it. That's faith. You hear something in the news that frightens you or get some bad report on you and you're terrified about it. You're certain that something evil, something bad is going to happen to you. It's the same principle applied differently. And from the beginning, God doesn't change, right? Now, this is one of the biggest lies that Satan has tried to pass off on the church, and unfortunately, the modern church today has bought into a great deal of it. You can go to certain churches, and they will tell you that all kinds of things no longer apply that God's Word says specifically that they do. They'll tell you, well, you know, tongues, that's passed away. No, it's not. Because God doesn't change. His gifts don't change. God's healing power, it's still here. It did not pass away. It was not just for the apostles. Today. You know, I used to be amazed, and I had some pastors I used to have these discussions with, and they would tell me, you know, we believe in the Great Commission, we're going to go forth, we're going to preach God's Word. And I said, great, what about that very next one? You're going to lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover, you're going to cast out demons, you're going to speak in other tongues. Oh, that's passed away. Wait, what? You know, from one verse to the next, suddenly God lost all of His power. And I'm going, no, that's not how this works, you know. But if you don't have the faith to believe it, you're not going to receive it. The one thing God gave mankind at the beginning He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, tend the garden. He gave us all the commandments. Don't partake of the tree of, you know, knowledge. Don't do that. Do all this other stuff. But the one power that we had that the angels, anybody else, you can't find this in Scripture, but mankind has the power to choose. And that was the choice that God gave us. He said, here, you've got the power to make a choice. And he gives us that same choice today. You can either choose Christ or you cannot. But it's a choice. And it has to be an active choice on our part. We can't just say, well, maybe, I don't know, I'll think about it someday. You're still choosing. If you're not acting on something, you're still choosing whether you want to or not, right? So he gives us that choice. So we have to understand that there is no middle ground. This is another one of these where, you know, you talk to people and it's like, well, you know, I don't go to church. I don't really do what God says to do in the Bible. But, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm kind of, me and him have an understanding. I'm kind of middle of the road. There's no middle of the road. It's God or it's not. And in Christianity, we have the exact same thing. I did a Bible study with a youth group years ago, and this was something that God showed me, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to clarify it so it doesn't come across as legalistic or trying to beat us over the head with anything. But in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 23, now in Romans 14, what they're talking about is they're basically going through, this is the passage of, you know, these foods are clean, these foods are unclean, you can eat whatever you want. It's the same passage where a lot of people want to try and say, well, you know, I can do this, but if it causes someone to stumble, I don't need to do it. It kind of gets into that. But when this phrase finishes up, depending on the version that you read, yeah, you can kind of see it there. Now, this is important. Any English major students out there, degree people, you'll love this because this stands out to me. This is what he's talking about. If a man doubts, he's condemned if he eats because, you know, eating's not from faith. Then there's a semicolon there. And if you remember from your English classes, that's basically a pause, and it's kind of like an addition, too. It's not always necessarily related just to that part back there, but it's a pause. You know, and here's something else, by the way, that kind of ties into this you need to know. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So that tells me that there is no middle of the road. I'm either walking by faith, I'm following God's word, or I'm not. And if God has commanded us to do something, he's told us to do something, and I'm not doing it, I got to get that squared away with God. Now, when I say I'm going to clarify this, this is not to be a legalistic thing like, boy, you better be down here every 5 minutes. You're sinning all the time. That's not what he's trying to say. But it's a reminder that God calls us to live by faith, right? The just shall live by faith. You remember that passage. And how do we live? We live from faith to faith. It's a constant relationship. It's a love walk. It's a growth process. So this is the first thing we need to stop and look at. If we're experiencing fear, if we're having issues, if we're dealing with these things, we have to stop and ask God, say, okay, God, where am I missing this? You know, I'm not having faith. Something's not right. I need to trust you. I need to dig deeper with this and find out what's going on because I don't want to be in a position where I'm causing other people to stumble because I don't want to step up and deal with an issue or take on a new challenge. But you remember that I mentioned that there were two types of fear described in the Bible. And you hear about the fear of the Lord. So that kind of says, well, if you're not supposed to fear, but it says to fear God, how's that work? Right? Is there such a thing as good fear? Yes and no. And I love those answers. The fear that's described as good, when you talk about the fear of the Lord, Psalm 111:10 is a good example. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That may be one you're pretty familiar with. Now, what that term fear means there, it's an old English word, and unfortunately we got the word without picking up the concept over the last few hundred years. But it basically means respect, reverence, and honor to God. So depending on which part of Scripture you're in and how the translator wanted to apply it, you could look at this and say, the reverence, the respect, and the honor of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, to a modern audience, that makes more sense, right? If I want to honor God, if I want to give God reverence, that tells me that I'm automatically doing the right thing because I'm seeking the right source. But the old English word they used there meant fear. And it kind of encompassed a lot of that. But again, over the years, we've lost that concept in our language, and we've kept the other meaning of fear, which is to be terrified and afraid. So a lot of people have misinterpreted that when they read versions of like the King James, and they say, okay, I'm supposed to be scared of God. That's not it at all. God doesn't want us to be scared of him, right? If you want to look at a good example of what the relationship God wants to have with us, go back and look at the story of the prodigal son. When the kid comes back and says, I've sinned against you, God, I've messed up, You know, if you remember the story, the dad didn't wait at the house for the kid to come back and beg him to forgive him and do all this stuff like, well, I guess I'll let you back in. The dad went running to meet the kid. And he's like, let's have a celebration. The kid's back home. That's the same relationship God has and wants with all of us. Right? When we come to that point where we say, God, I've messed up, he comes running to us. He doesn't wait for us to get it right. He comes down and scoops us up in his arms because he loves us. Because God is good. Now, the bad fear, that's the stuff we already talked about earlier, defined it in Webster's. This we're commanded not to do. And there's at least 80 different times, now this is talking like fear leading to distress, there's at least 80 different times in Scriptures we're told not to do this. So you remember I said last week, if God says in his word something and he repeats it, it's something we maybe ought to pay attention to. He didn't just repeat this once, he told us 80 different times, don't do it. You know, I know sometimes I've told my kids 100 times, you know, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, God's doing that to me. Wow, it makes me feel kind of bad. But he does, he tells us that 80 different times at least. Don't fear, don't do this stuff. And if you want to break it down, there's actually 14 different types of fear that's mentioned throughout the Bible that God specifically, he doesn't just say just fear not, he specifically pinpoints it out. He mentions the fear of man, the fear of death, fear of the future, fear of danger, fear of false gods, fear of dreams, fear of evil, the fear of war, the fear of nothing, where you just, it's imaginings in your own mind, fear of enemies, fear of punishment, fear of darkness or evil in general, fear of ghosts, and then there's a spirit of fear that's described. So, you know, God really gets detailed, and that covers pretty much everything. If you look at those, it's kind of hard to think of something that happens in the natural realm that you say, oh, well, here's one he didn't cover. He kind of covers everything. It's all there. And he says, don't be afraid of it. Isaiah 41:10, you know, it tells us, it says, so do not fear. I love this. Why? Because I am with you. Boy, don't you remember as a kid, you know, when you had maybe your parent or a grandparent, somebody that you looked up to as an adult, and you were scared. And they just came up and they were just with you. Just having them in the room. I'm not scared of the dark anymore. My dad's here. You know? This is that same relationship that God has with us right now. Every day. He says, do not fear. Why? Because I'm with you. You know, there's never going to be a place where you can go where you can get away from God. Excuse me. He's always going to be with you. He's always wherever you're at. Don't be dismayed. Don't panic. Why? Because I'm your God. What's he going to do? I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hands. Those times when we get so beat down with things in this world and we get so scared and we think, God, I can't deal with this. I can't. What are we supposed to do here? That point where you're almost near panic. This is where God steps in and he says, I got this. I've got you and I've got this situation. All you got to do is trust me and let it go. So where does fear come from? It's obviously a spiritual attack. It's obviously something that the devil tries to put in there to get us off track. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and that our hearing comes by the Word of God. So it stands to reason that if you wanted to try and counterfeit that, where would it come from? Anything else, right? The news media, false religions. There's all kinds of ways that the devil tries to bring this stuff up. But for the believer, I think it's a lot of times, and I'm not trying to harp on the news. We need to be informed. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is a reason why in this natural world, if you turn on the news, it's not just something bad that happened. It's the worst possible of whatever it possibly could have been that happened that day you need to know about. And if something terrible didn't happen here locally that was tragic enough, here's what happened over in this other country, and it may just be a matter of time before it happens here. It's going to be something that's brought up like that all the time. And we have now a 24/7 news network that bombards us with this day in and day out. And again, we need to be informed because as Christians, we need to know what to pray about, number one. We need to know who to pray for. But we also need to be reminded that, you know, God is still in control. He's still got this. And we start watching the news or we start reading the paper, hearing reports, and it starts making us apprehensive. That's when, as a Christian, we need to stop and say, okay, God, I need to know what's going on, but I'm not going to let this scare me. I need to take a minute and get back in the Word here and let's make sure that we're on track with this. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, when we started following that thing with the North Korea and all that stuff that's going on, you know, it concerned me a little bit, right? You know, it's kind of a scary thought. And, you know, if you read the news, states like Hawaii now, they've put in preparation programs so that in case the missiles launch, you know, in the back of my head, now I wasn't around for this, but I'm remembering, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I studied that in history. I've seen all the historical stuff about what went on in places like Florida and stuff, people buying bomb shelters because, you know, the uncertainty that was there and the impending doom that went with it, it was a scary thing. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is kind of like a modern version of this same thing. But then I stop and I remember, but God hasn't changed. God says he's going to protect us. He says he's going to keep us safe. And it wasn't an if, it was a promise that he's going to take care of us. You know, so then I have a choice, right? This gets back to our power to choose. I can choose to continue to walk in fear, or I can choose to have faith in an almighty God who said, you don't have to be afraid. And that's where the spiritual battle comes in at. Now, I'm one of these people that I really believe that spiritual warfare is an ongoing, constant thing. I'm not looking for demons to jump around every corner or anything like that. I think there are natural things that play into it, but I think behind the natural laws, there's also spiritual forces that drive it. And I think it's very much, when the Bible says, you know, there's a spirit of fear, that tells me that it's an active thing that's just like the Holy Spirit that's active. Now, the one difference, Satan isn't God. He can't be everywhere all the time. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He may want you to think he is, but he's not. And if you read the back of the book, if you ever needed any encouragement, he loses. He lost at the cross, and he's going out. Now, along the way, he's going to try and take as many people as he can with him, because that's his mandate, right? John 10 tells us that, steal, kill, and destroy. It's what he does. But as believers, we don't have to be hampered by that. And God said, you know, I love this. I'm going to look at a few of these when we're looking at choosing and stuff. Because a lot of people want to say, well, whose decision is it really? Is it, you know, maybe I'm going through this for a reason, maybe, you know. I'm going to kind of just look at a few of these today. Like I said, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. But John 14, 27. This is the passage where Jesus is talking about the peace that he gives us. And this is his peace, he's saying, he gives to us, right? He doesn't give us like the world gives. Now, what kind of peace would the world give you to keep you from fear? We've reached an accord with North Korea. They've signed a treaty. They're going to be nice now. You know, all ISIS has disbanded. They've said they've seen the error of their ways. They're not going to do what they're doing anymore. You know, oh, and by the way, you know, we've decided we fixed the deficit. There's money for everybody. We're all, don't worry about that. That's all taken care of. Yeah. That's the kind of peace that we would get. You know, and say, oh, it's all good. The news says it's good. Here's why it's good. I don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. But God says he gives us his peace. In the midst of that storm, we can still be peaceful. And look what it says. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Whose choice is that? That's us. We're in the driver's seat for that one. And to make sure we're not missing it, we don't want to take something out of context, let's look at a few others. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear. Why? For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. Okay, whose choice is that? That's ours, right? There's two examples. Okay, Philippians 4. Let's look at this one, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, that pretty much covers it, don't you think? God tells us, don't worry. Whose choice is that? It's still ours. Why? Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present what? Your request to God. You remember we talked about it last week? If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. We know we have the petitions we've desired of him. There it is. Bring those to God. And don't just bring your prayers to him in this worried tone of, you know, Lord, have you seen what's going on? What are we going to do? There's this crazy person with his hand over the button. This looks bad. There's this disease I heard about. Man, this is terrible. He says, bring it with thanksgiving. Well, how can you be thankful in the midst of that? You got to have faith that God is the answer. If God said he's going to take care of us, we got to believe he's going to take care of us and let it go with that. And at that point, now that's on him. He's got to be faithful to his word. But I'll tell you something, this may be a spoiler, he always is. God is always faithful to his word. But he tells us, you've got to choose. Don't be anxious. Hebrews 13, I love this one, verse 5 and 6. This is a good one that covers a lot of things going on today. This is kind of more in the end of this verse 5, but it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And look what he says in verse 6 here. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid, because what can man do to me? Amen. So that takes care of a lot of it there. So let's see, is this just an isolated incident? We've got time. I'm going to put this one up. If you can go to Deuteronomy for me, Brad, chapter 30. This starts in verse 11. Now, this whole passage in Deuteronomy 30, this is the part where it's talking about blessing and cursing. And he was telling the children of Israel, you know, I'm setting before you today certain things. This is what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. Hey, God's not going to make it too hard for us. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who's going to go up to heaven and get it? Who's going to tell us so we can obey it, right? It's not going to happen that way. Let's go ahead and skip on down to verse 20, I think it is, Brad, if you would. Here we go. For the Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, that you may love the Lord to God, may love the Lord your God, you may listen to his voice and hold fast to him, right? For the Lord is your life. And this whole passage wraps up. He puts everything out. He says, here's your choices. And he wraps this whole statement up. He says, choose life, right? I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. So if fear comes from the world, how do we overcome that? Well, if you look in the book of 1 John chapter 5, it says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you want freedom from fear, this is where it has to start. Because if that decision isn't made, there's nothing else that this world can offer you that's going to help. There's no amount of psychology, no amount of therapy, no amount of self-help that's going to get you there. The only self-help book that works is called the Bible. And that's really not self-help, that's God help. But that's what's going to take care of it. And he says it right there. The only one who overcomes the world is the one who proclaims Jesus is the Son of God. And in case there's still any of that doubt where people say, well, you know, that's the way God operated then, but I just don't know about today. Back it up a verse to verse 4, because I love this. If nothing else gets you excited today, this one thought ought to do it. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Right? This whole thing comes back to faith. If you're looking at things from the term of spiritual warfare, of how this world operates, it all comes back to faith. The just shall live by faith. Once you're saved, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we are the just when it refers to that. And we may still feel like we carry baggage, we carry problems, we have this terrible history. God says, no. I made you my righteousness. I gave you my Son. It's been washed. It's been paid. It's been done. And at that point, we just have to accept God's forgiveness and step out and say, okay, by faith, I'm taking this, God. I'm walking this road you put before me. Is it going to be easy? No. Does it mean that you're not going to have hard times? No, I wish it did, but it's not. When you decide to step out in faith, the thing that's pretty awesome about it is you put a big target on. Because think about it, if the devil's trying to keep this world down, if he's already got them down, he may come by and do some stuff, kick them while they're down just to get a laugh out of it. But the ones that he really wants to go after are the ones who know different. The ones who know him for what he is, who know the answers in Jesus Christ and say, no, Jesus Christ is my Lord. This is what we're doing. Those are the ones that the devil wants to go after. Why? Because they're a threat to him. Remember, steal, kill, destroy. That's what he wants to do. If you're preaching Jesus to the lost, telling people they don't have to be bound by fear, you don't have to be bound by sickness, you don't have to be bound by this stuff anymore because God says you don't, well, now he's got a reason to stand up and attack, right? Because you're exposing the lie with the truth. Now, again, that doesn't say that we're not going to have attacks, we're not going to have problems as Christians. We are. But God said he'll see us through it. God is faithful. And when it comes to fear, we don't have to listen to it. That desire to fear when bad things come about is a temptation. And a lot of times we think about temptation as, you know, relating to, you know, maybe worldly things that have to do with other stuff, you know, maybe food or, you know, whatever it might be. But basically, anything that our flesh wants to do in the natural that's contrary to God's word is a temptation. But look what he tells us in 1 Corinthians. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Now, I take a lot of comfort in that scripture because that tells me that when I do mess up and something bothers me, I get scared of something, that it's okay. God says that's going to happen. It's a common thing. It's not just me. It doesn't mean that my faith is terrible. It doesn't mean I'm a bad Christian. But God is faithful. He's not going to allow that temptation to come more than what we can bear. But when we are tempted, He will provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. Praise God. So when the hard times come, with whatever situation it may be, when you see something that makes you fearful, you see something that concerns you, you give into it for a minute, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You ask God to forgive you, but God says, you know what? Here's your out. And again, in this whole passage of Scripture, what does this imply? It implies choice. We have to choose, right? I love how Joshua put it, you choose this day whom you're going to serve, right? Me and my house, we're serving the Lord. It's a daily process. It's a daily choice. It's a daily decision to walk by faith. And I hope I'm not the only one, but for me sometimes it's been a minute-by-minute decision. And I hope it's not just me. But it's like, okay, God, I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by faith. And you have that come up because, boy, you know, when you start trying to do that, doesn't the devil just show up at the worst time? And he's like, boy, you know, like let's say it's faith for finances for something. You know, God, there's a need we need met. We know you've been faithful. We know you said you're going to meet our needs. I'm trusting it's done. Boy, did you look at your bank statement? I'm trusting it's done. Boy, do you remember this bill? I'm trusting it's done. Well, you know, this just happened. I'm trusting it's done. Hey, you've got a flat tire. I'm trusting that it's done. All this stuff comes up out of nowhere, and you're going, ah. The first reaction is, where in the world did this come from? Well, it came from the enemy who saw you standing up in faith, and he's like, well, we can't have that, so he's going to come and try and knock the pins out from under you, right? No. Shield of faith, what does it do? Quenches the fiery darts, all of them. We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. Now, this is one where God and I, boy, I tell you, in my prayer life, I kind of went back on this one a few times. I remember my wife was laughing at me one time. We were having faith on something, and boy, it was hard, went on for a long time. God was naturally faithful. He came through. He started showing us all these things where he was coming through. But through that whole process, I just kept saying, you know, I just want to get to a part where I say, okay, that was tough. I'm done with that. I'm good for a while. It doesn't work like that. And I'm like, God, really? Come on. You got to be kidding. This is hard. And I don't want to have faith every minute of the day. Well, you know, that's kind of the deal. But I'll tell you what I have found is that with practice, it gets easier. Now, that's not to say new things may not come up that all of a sudden you realize, wow, I haven't been having faith in that area at all. You know, for us, it was financial stuff. You know, faith for healing I was good on. I'd been raised with it. I'd seen it. I've watched God do miracles that, you know, like we say back home, it just curl your hair, you know. I've seen stuff just happen that there is absolutely no explainable way except God just came down, touched somebody, and boom, there it was done. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen people that I knew hadn't walked in years in a wheelchair get up and walk like they had been doing it all their life. That's God, okay? That's the miracle working power of God. But when it came to finances, that was one I was kind of difficult to trust with. I was like, you know, you've got to do things a certain way. It's almost like we have to go back sometimes and unlearn a lot of things we've learned in the natural. Now, the answers are all here in God's Word, and He tells us. And for me, it was a point of saying, okay, do I trust? Do I really believe? Do I really, this is what it tells me. Do I really believe this is what it means? And it took time, and I had to come around. Because, you know, in any relationship, there's two people, right? Any standard relationship, you got two people. In your relationship with God, there's you and there's God. One doesn't change. One is all-knowing. One is all-powerful. And one is not. I'm going to let you figure out which ones are which, but, you know, if God's Word says it and we don't accept it, we got to change, whether we want to or not. And we're not going to grow and we're not going to get out of the situation until we do. We have to get to that point where we admit and say, you know, God, I've been missing it. This is tough. Everybody's telling me all this stuff. I'm getting advice from 15 different people. What does God's Word say? Remember, I can give you my opinion all day long and you'll have an opinion that, I'm sorry to say, it's not probably worth a whole lot. But I can give you this. And you can go back and read this. And I encourage you to do that. Don't just take my word for it. Go back and look these up. Spend time studying these scriptures. And then let God talk to you. Because if you spend the time in God's Word, God's going to be faithful. He's going to talk to you. He's going to reveal His truth to you. And once you've got a hold of God's truth, it's just like salvation. We don't doubt our salvation. Gifts of the Spirit, we do not doubt that. Why? Because we know God is faithful. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. Maybe there's some area of fear or something else, though, that you have been dealing with. Go to God's Word. You know, that kind of temptation, it's common to man. It's different for everybody. But we all have things that we struggle with. We all have things that we have to continue to work on. And it's going to be that way until God calls us home. You know, we're never going to be perfect. He says for us to grow to be more like Jesus. And prayerfully, every day we're doing that and getting better. But it's still a process and it's still a choice. And we have to do that. So let's look at it. We talk about freedom from fear, how to be completely free. We've talked about God's Word. We know that through Jesus we overcome the world. Let's wrap it up and let's look at the one thing that actually caps it all, that does everything for us here. John 13:34-35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, those are the words coming from Jesus. And you think, well, you know, what in the world's love got to do with fear? We're talking about fear of all these terrible things in the world, fear of this, fear of destruction, fear of war. You know, what's that got to do with love? 1 John 4:18, I love this phrase. There is no fear in love. You want to know how to be free from fear? We got to work on our love walk. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Remember, it's an expectation of evil. Okay? That spiritual force behind all that for us, that's sin. Right? The power of sin in this world, that's where all that comes from. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, that's not meant to be a condemning sentence. That's not meant to be a beat you over the head. If you're struggling with something, if you have fears, if you have doubts, it's not a, wow, you're a terrible person. But it should be a wake-up call. It should be one of those moments where we look at it and we say, God, I've been dealing with this issue. What's wrong? And He says, read this. And you see it and you go, that's the answer. That's where I've been missing that. Okay, I need to work on my love walk. This was revelatory to me. I didn't necessarily have anything I had been apprehensive about that I could put my finger on. But there's been some stuff that's come up that, you know, you hear about it and you think, wow, that's kind of a scary prospect. But He says right here, He says, Keith, work on your love walk. Okay, and I can't argue with this. This is Scripture, right? No fear in love. So my command that Jesus gives me is love one another. Just as I've loved you, you have to love one another. How does Christ love us? He loved us to the point that He gave His life for us, right? We need to have that same level of compassion for people. Believers, we need to have it for unbelievers so they become believers. But that's where it's got to start. Right? We work on the faith, we work on believing, we work on stepping out, and then we take it to that next step and we say, okay, I believe you, God, I believe your word, what do I need to do? This is the command He gives us. He says, love one another. Because by this, everyone's going to know you're my disciples. The way that we act towards each other is a very loud witness to the world. And you've seen that in all kinds of news story, different things that have come up over the years, of examples where terrible things happen and people are going, I can't believe you're not mad at this person. I can't believe you're not upset. I can't believe you're not taking this person to court. And they're saying, you know, it's difficult, it's hard, but I forgive them. Wow. That is a perfect mirror image of what Christ said for every one of us. Because He looked at every one of us, and if God had just been judging at that moment, it would have been guilty, done. We're done. But He didn't do that. Jesus stepped in and said, no, I'm going to pay this. I'm taking care of it because I love them. Right? I forgive them. I hope as we go back out today and through the rest of the week, as we look at things going on around us in the world, local, international, that we look at it maybe in a different light than we did before we came in this morning, and that we understand that as bad as things look, God is still in control, God is still in charge, God is still faithful. He hasn't changed, He never will. And if we cling to Him, we cling to His Word, and we do what His Word says, then we know that God's going to take care of us. Amen? Amen? All right. God, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I praise you, Father, for your word. I pray, Lord, that it would go forth and do the work you have. I ask, God, that you would keep us safe as we travel from here, that you would bring us back safely next week, God. Be with those who aren't with us today, Lord. For those who need healing, God, I pray for your healing touch, Lord, on them. God, for those who need financial needs met, I pray for that, God. For anyone dealing with fear, Lord, I felt you wanted me to talk about this morning. I pray that they, through your word, have seen what they need now, God, to get through that. God, for what other needs it may be here, Lord, I pray that you would meet them as only you can. I pray you would be with us as we go this week. Help us to be that light in this world for you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.